You're listening to
How Yoshi Did It
Podcast with Yoshi Obayashi.
Don't you ever all be sad. Lean on me when times get bad. When the day come and I know you die in a river of trouble, you're about to
drown. All right, we are recording, and this is my last a conversation in Seattle, and this is a big one for me because I have work for white guys, I work for Asian people, and this is the best boss I ever had. And I have to say, if you're only very lucky if you ever had this guy for your boss, and he was very fair, and he protected us from the owner of the business. We don't have to mention the owner's name, but D'Amico Williams, thanks. D'Amico, thanks for doing it. You always made me laugh. You changed my life for better, and I'm really glad I got back to Seattle because you're definitely one of the handfuls of people that I could talk to, and it makes me really happy to talk to you.
Wow,
I really mean
I
that.
Love yeah. you too, man. thank you for the kind words.
And not to mention, I grew up very cynical and very bad family situation, and I think you probably had a rough childhood, but. But for you to find such a wonderful and intimate marriage with your wife, it just shows like no matter how shitty you might have grown up, that shouldn't stop you from having happiness in life, you know.
Very true.
You're an example of that. So
wow, thank you.
I'm serious.
Too kind.
Yeah.
You're too kind.
So the reason why I know D'Amico is because at the time I had a really bad experience working at Taboo Video. I loved the business. I liked the customers. That's some of the managers I had problem with. And of course, this is a common theme throughout my life. It's usually people who have an addiction problem. So I was desperate. I was working for Mother after that. And it was not going well because you don't want to say anything terrible about your mom. But the fact is, you know,
Do it.
She had a drinking problem. I'm sure she still does. And when you're an addict, they don't make the best decisions. And of course,
and when it's mom, it makes it tougher, right?
It makes it really tougher.
Yeah.
But you're one of the few people that I could have the honest conversation. And believe it or not, it doesn't make me feel good to say it, but that was just the reality. And believe me, I was not a perfect son either. But you really are the few people that I could talk. But you made a wise decision to not live like that. So I ended up getting a job at R&R 2001. I was very desperate. And if it wasn't for that 2 years I worked for you, I don't know where I would have been. But it's been great because it put me into the...
You said that was a pivotal point in your life, that it did change quite a bit at that moment in time.
Yeah, because you're so flexible because your thing is as long as you show up and do the job and help everyone and do the best you can. Believe me, I was not a perfect worker either, but as long as you do your best and trying to get along with you and of course we look after your interest. Like I was working with a guy named Vadim, you remember. We both call him a dummy.
No, nice guy.
We teasingly call him dummy. We joke around, but there was a cat working. There was a cat working at the retail store. He was ready to cause problems. And before that happened, we talked to you because you've been so good to us, beyond good. The wage was excellent. There's no reason to cause problem.
Right.
So we told you before this thing happened. And because some people might say you might be snitching, but this particular person wasn't working really hard and wasn't fair to everyone and caused a problem. So we went to you, and to this day, we would have done again over and over, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but thanks for being a great boss because you're fair, but you're also, I have to say, this is all we ever ask for bosses, fair and be effective at their job. Because you cannot have a nice, incompetent boss either.
That's true.
So thanks for that. I have to say that in the beginning.
No, thank you. That was very kind. Too kind. Thank you.
Before we continue, so that you I want to, you know, you born and raised in Washington, or was it California?
I was born in Washington, Seattle, yeah. Washington. And we moved to San Jose, California, pretty much when I was six.
Yeah.
And that was an experience. interesting thing about California, they have a lot of gangs. They have a lot of individuals that like to get into trouble, shall we say. So during that time in California, we stayed in some really bad areas and some really nice areas.
Right.
So at a very young age, I realized I like the nice areas a lot better than the rough ones. So I had to fight a lot, but I do understand parents do the best they can with what they have. And as my mother did better, so did I.
Yeah.
I thrived better in nicer schools.
Sure.
With that, we moved back to Seattle pretty much for middle school.
Yeah.
And Seattle, Washington is a lot different from California.
Sure.
In the simple fact that the people are not as violent.
Sure.
So it was like, whoa,
you know,
you don't have to fight as often up here. This is different.
I really loved when I used to watch Allen Iverson for the NBA. What an unbelievable athlete and competitor and everything. But he got in trouble because he grew up in a certain neighborhood and he was very loyal to their friends. But loyalty is a good thing to a point. But, you know, they always say, like, keep it real. But problem is, sometimes they keep it real fucking stupid, too. Because if you work really hard and change your life, but you don't have to keep that stupidity and all the violence then too, because you want to help your friend, but if they're not willing to change it, they don't have a right to drag you with you.
Correct. They should protect you.
Yeah.
Yeah. They should keep you away from that.
That's why when I, you know, I have you and all that, my black comedian friends, they're great.
Why they got to be black comedians?
Because when you're the only Asian comic, and you didn't really get to mingle the white ones. By default, you go with the black ones. That's what I did. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so you're an Asian brother.
Yeah. Like my friend, my friend Fred Patton, I think you met one of their brothers years ago.
Okay.
But his mother was very protective and trying to prevent him from gang stuff. So, you know, maybe some of the other black kids never gave them a hard time, but Fred's mother always said, like, I asked her, like, why were you so successful in marriage and taking care of kids? And she basically said, we didn't care about our personal happiness. Only thing we were concerned about, that the happiness of our kids. And they always look after them. And if they're hanging out with, whether they're Asian, white, black kids, but they're a bad influence, they're cut. They're not hanging out with my kid.
Right.
In fact, yesterday when I was talking to my friend Ruben, I think he's white, black, and Greek, and like he's like all kinds of mix. But I didn't know until yesterday. We've been friends with Fred's family since '82. Mm-hmm. That he did something goofy where it kind of dragged the Patton voice into it.
Right.
The mother and them were not allowed to interact with them, even in their 18, 19, 20s. Right. But that family, and just like you keep it real smart. That's the thing. Like, loyalty is important, but not to the point of hurting people, you know?
And when it's putting yourself in jeopardy, you should be able to draw that line really fast.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend, I call him my best old ex-friend, Greg.
Yeah.
He was my best friend from pretty much middle school through high school.
Yeah.
We became adults. We started to go out and get jobs and everything. And I noticed anytime we would hang out, the police got involved.
Right.
And it was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm a law-abiding citizen.
Sure.
I have soft skin. I can't go to jail.
Right.
With that being said, last three times I hung out with this individual, police got involved.
Sure.
So I need to make a decision. And I made a decision. And there are people that you cut out of your life and you're better off. And he's the only person that I've cut out of my life that I miss. And, you know, I hope he's doing well.
Sure.
And the problem is sometimes an individual can lose his way when they come back.
Yeah.
And hopefully when they come back, they stay on that path and live a nice, healthy life.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you. And the Fred's path, that thing was, it was a similar situation with the cop guy involved. They weren't doing anything, but their other friend was reckless and dragging them into it. And, you know, I grew up in Japan, so everybody looks the same. So you have a healthy authority about the cops. But, you know, if you're a black person in this world, they definitely have a different relationship with police, and they can't afford to be same way with this white kid saying, fuck the police. It's easy for them to say that because they're not going to get shot.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So you have to make adjustments. It depends on who you are and the environment you're in. But for me, Fred's family and you, people like yourself, I need to associate like that because it's kind of like climbing a mountain tandem. If everybody's helping each other, if one falls, you help that person. If I fall, they help me. But if there's somebody in that line where have no regard for themselves and others and trying to drag everyone, that person have to be cut off. Right. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Right. Well, what if an individual, they're not trying to drag you down, but they're trying to use your kindness as a weakness.
Yeah.
As far as everybody has to work nowadays.
Sure.
Everybody has their budget for the month.
Sure.
But they know, oh, if I go out and I have this fun and I blow the money here, I know I can call this individual and get a loan that I never have to pay back.
Yeah.
What do you do with an individual that does that repeatedly? Do you treat them the same way and remove them from your life, or you just put up restrictions and barriers?
I'm personally very extreme. Like once they reach a certain point, I will cut them off. And again, I have to, you know?
Right.
And you have to. But, you know, I mean, really, whenever my friends ask me questions like that, I kind of smile because I think they already know what they need to do. It's just, it's hard for them to do that. And hopefully somebody will agree with your position. But I think most people, what they need to do, and my position is, I have to cut those people out. Thankfully, my brother would never behave that way, you know?
Right.
And people that really matters in my life. But you want to help to a point.
Right.
Because my name is Yoshi, not Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? My name is not Bernie Sanders. I can't do that.
Right.
But also, like before we even recorded, there was a book like 15 years ago. There was two economists, I think Texas or something, but it's called Millionaire Next Door.
Yes.
And they had a very common things like most people who become millionaire in this country, it's not really glamorous. They usually have pretty
ordinary cars,
ordinary job. Yeah, like maybe they own a garbage company or a couple liquor stores and stuff, but they save, they're frugal with their money, and they install certain character to their kids. And they don't necessarily gone to Harvard and things like that.
And they did not have the Mercedes sitting out front.
No, no, no. They have Sears cars. You know, this is like the mid-90s.
Right.
And, you know, very frugal with their money. And the part that they make mistake is that they ended up having kids. And
that's a mistake.
Not having a mistake, not having kids, but some of them that make mistake is that it's very hard for say no to them because they had a rough childhood. But
it's hard for the parents to say no to the children
because they remember as a kid not having anything, so they want to give, but they do.
Is it that or guilt? That they're away working and they don't spend as much time as they would like with the children.
I'm sure there's a lot of that.
Okay.
And, you know, recently there was this kid in Texas that ended up running over 2 to 3 people, I think, DUI. He was 16 or something, and he was supposed to do prison time. His mother ran off to Mexico with this kid.
Mm.
And there was a word that he used.
The privileged young man.
Affluenza.
Affluenza.
Yeah.
Right.
Basically, he was raised spoiled brat, so he didn't know how to be responsible. So what did his mother do? Continue more shit to escape to Mexico, not facing his present time and be responsible for it, you know? So
did he do any prison time?
They got arrested. They were extradited back to Texas. But you know what's not funny?
Did he have dark skin?
He's super white. He looked like King Jeffrey right there, Game of Thrones reference.
He's probably at Disney World right now eating a snow cone.
I'm not even joking. He killed 2-3 people. I think he's doing 2 years.
That's it.
That's it, I think. Maybe 4, but 2 if I remember right.
Wow. Wow.
So, believe me, nobody asked me to come to this country. My mom kidnapped me and my brother, not telling us. But I'm very grateful to be here because when I go back to Japan...
Are you serious?
I'm very serious. The way my cousin live... The social restriction, they don't get shot by police, but in my opinion, life is so much better for me. And I've gone overseas, and yes, there's different countries in the world, like, oh, maybe I could have lived here. But I am grateful because alternative for me in Japan would have been worse.
Right.
Having said that, I'm not saying there aren't people in this country that have doesn't have a reason to complain. But believe me, I grew up in Long Beach and Compton, mid-80s. Jesus Christ, it's very shameful how they get treated in those parts of the, you know.
Okay.
And I'm sure you're glad you didn't grow up in those parts.
Yes, I'm very, very happy.
Yeah.
Did spend a little time in Richmond. Bad area.
Yeah.
Bad area. You look up the stats. I haven't looked up the stats recently, but it's always one of the top homicide places in the country.
Sure.
So I was very happy to leave Richmond. Thank goodness we were only there for maybe 3 to 4 months tops.
Yeah.
But I could not imagine life in an area with that type of crime,
yeah,
that type of violence. And it saddens me to hear people, they'll say things like, well, if a person wants to better their life, they shouldn't commit these crimes.
Sure.
Well, if that's your environment and that's what you see, that's what you know, and your parents are in the kitchen cooking, yeah, up crack cocaine or crystal meth, what are you supposed to do?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I wish them the best. I do have a question for you as far as your mom came and kidnapped you.
Yeah.
To bring you to this country.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the way, she has lost her way. And with that, can you ever foresee if she ever got back on the path that the door is ajar a little bit to have a lunch or anything?
I work for you, so you know when customers get in line how crazy I get.
I'm not going to say crazy, but everybody in the room will know your position.
Yeah. There's no ambiguity with,
right,
with me.
Right.
And here's the thing. If anybody asks me this question, I get angry, but it doesn't. I'm very comfortable talking to you because, okay, I trust you. You're, in my mind, you're very few people, handful of people that earned that to talk to me like that, you know? I have to say, every time I come to Seattle, I've been telling a lot of people every time I come up here, it makes me sad. Part of the reason is that, you know, and it's very frustrating. It makes me sad that I don't have a good relationship with her. But I am angry that, well, if I have to be devil's advocate, I tried to look at her position. Like, she was almost, I could be wrong, but she was almost like forced to marry this guy that she didn't want to get married. She was 20. She didn't have a lot. She didn't have a chance and opportunity to explore her youth,
mm-hmm,
and I'm sure very resentful for that. And my grandmother lost everything when my grandfather died, and lost all. They were really rich people, but they lost everything to my uncle and aunt. So there's a lot of resentment because my mom had to marry someone. But
right.
I will say this much: the reason why I don't have a kid and never got married because I think once you have a kid, it's not about you anymore. The focus have to be kids, and most parents don't do that. And
I think you're right. That's where the focus should be.
Yeah,
right.
But most people don't, and that's why I never had a kid, because I know I can do that. See, I don't think when it comes to having kids, I don't think I would have been better than my mom. And that's the part I feel ashamed about myself. I
okay.
have to say, I don't think I would have been a good parent. But when I look at you and your wife, I know if you had a kid, you guys would be outstanding parents. I really do.
Well, thank you. But what's funny about us? Sometimes life doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a plan. How about this? You can have a plan, but life will end up kicking your ass,
yeah,
or life will tell you, hey, no, it's not going left. It's going right.
Yeah.
And when I met my wife, she told me within the first year, if I wanted children, we got to get started right away.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to have my last child at the age of 30.
Yeah.
Because by the time I... turn 50,
yeah,
that child should be pretty much out the house.
Right.
If the child is still in my house, I will leave army brochures on the pillow, you know, just a little nudge. But I feel when you first meet someone, you need to develop your relationship.
Yeah.
Build your foundation.
Sure.
And when that foundation has been laid and it is sturdy enough,
yeah,
now you can bring in a child to this love because it's a product of our love.
Sure.
With that being said, that I don't think I was comfortable the foundation wasn't solid till I was pretty much 35.
Yeah.
Woo! And at that time, it's too late. Yeah. That ship had sailed. So it wasn't in the card for us. But what I'm happy about is I found the love of my life. And
that's no bullshit. I mean, I see it, man. And for somebody as cynical as I am, and I am, you, I'm telling you, there's like three or four people in my life, like you're number one up there, because that's when it makes me like life is wonderful, you know, because you get to the point where I'm so clouded with my anger, you know, with the way I grow up. And it's really softening that part. It's when I see you and my friend Tom. Why? Because when I met Tom Hempler, I talked to him before, I hated him within 5 minutes. I wanted to stab him in the face. But when I see that marriage, it's wonderful. Their kids are amazing. When I see my friend married Patton, one of the boys I'm talking about, with a kid, incredible father, and just so happy to have a kid. I see that life is good, you know, and it makes me happy to see them like that. Going back to what you said about my mother, it's no longer really about my mom anymore. It's just I'm having issue with this anger thing. It's hard for me to let go. And you know, when people say anti-Semitism it's about Jews, but it's not. It's the reason anti-Semitism is terrible, it's because it's about hate. Because if those people ended up getting enough Jews, do you think they'll be done with that? No, they're going to find something else to,
right.
You know, the hate never goes away. So older I get, I guess it takes a lot of energy to hate people.
It can go away.
Yeah.
But you have to have the will and the desire to let it go.
Yeah. It's hard to make. I'm telling you, it's really hard. And when I got... when I got fired, it's not even about job, but when I got fired, because when I later on find out there's a lot of bullshit behind it, but it wasn't even job. It was the group of people that I work. That's why this is another thing. I was very lucky. 11 years starting with your R&R when I was working for you, those guys that I work with, it was so fun working with every one of those guys. You know, it was like a barbershop, you know, like we talk about porn, but sports. And it was one of those few places, like it's one of the few jobs you could be very honest with the customers when they're misbehaving, but you could really have a good conversation. And also for the customers, maybe they can't talk to their wife or girlfriend about the things they want from life, and they had a place to talk to us.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It really was like cheers for adult club, you know what I mean?
If it was a bar, it was cheers. If it was a nightclub, it was Studio 57.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it was absolutely, I mean, that was the sad part, because I knew when you were so generous with the scheduling vacation, things like that, and everybody was so cool.
Right.
And that gave me opportunity to go to Europe twice. And I saw I was a little afraid. You know, you're a lower class kid. Everybody's negative, trying to do something different. You're afraid.
You ain't nobody.
Yeah,
you ain't
shit. Yeah. You know, Believe me, I hang out with black people. I learned. Believe me, I know. I'm very comfortable. Right. Black people tell you truth, even if you don't want to hear it. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
But it's unnecessary. That's what makes it so great to hang out with them. And then, so even if you have a dream and ambition. I can't even talk to my family. They will destroy it, man.
Jealousy.
They will completely destroy
Jealousy and envy. Correct.
Yeah. There was a show I used to work on, the DVD SA, and there was a very successful guy there. But after a while, when you say something intimate, he would turn around and use it against you. That's why I got tired of that shit.
Right.
I don't mind talking honestly with someone like you, because you're fair and you will apply the same standard to yourself. Like, if you're attacking me, something that you think I need to change, you only say it because you yourself behave in a way that, you know, by example. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell me to do something because you already do that yourself.
Right.
You're not a hypocrite, Demico.
Right.
That's why I have so much respect for you. And having this conversation, I really don't know if that stuff is going to resolve. But I really am. I can't even imagine 10 years ago even thinking about it. But I'm slowly seeing, like, okay, these are the things I've done to ruin certain relationship. It's my fault. There's others. Why it didn't work out? It could be that I was partly at fault, but I have to say, there's times if there are bad people, you just need to cut those people out of your life.
I agree. I'll tell you a little. Go ahead.
Maybe they're a good person, but we just never meant. It's just not a personality trait that doesn't work. It could be that too. So it's not always it's their fault, you know.
That's true. But I do want to hit on the hatred part. Mm-hmm. You got to let hate go.
Yeah.
You may dislike someone.
Yeah.
You may not care for this individual.
Yeah.
But if you can, I'm not talking forgiveness. People, oh, you have to forgive. You see on television. This person murdered my wife, murdered my son, killed my dog, but I forgive you.
Yeah.
I cannot bear the... You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
No, I will pull the button. I will inject the vein. I will do whatever to kill this individual. But real fast, my wife, the love of my life.
Yes.
I met her at a party.
Yeah.
It was a birthday party for a lady that I had hate for.
Yeah.
Hate. Would never, ever go to a function for this woman because I did hate this individual.
Right.
We go to her birthday party. I meet my wife. Now, this is the house of the woman that I hate. It took maybe 10 years because I'm that slow. And I was in the car driving. The golf course was to my left. I looked at the grass.
Yeah.
The sun was out. It was pretty. And reason why I thought about this lady that I hate at that moment, because I just passed her house.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? My life is great.
Right.
It's fantastic.
Right.
And without that heifer, I would have never met my wife.
Right.
At that moment, I exhaled.
Yeah.
That hate that I had for this woman was gone. And the reason why I did hate her, she would, my grandmother was dying. She was sick. My grandmother would finally get to sleep as I would, you know, I would watch her on certain days. And this lady would call ecstatic, hysterical. Have you seen my boyfriend?
Yeah.
No, I haven't, which was my uncle. No, he's at work. He doesn't get off till 3:30. It's 2:30. Well, something's going on. Something's up. So just one thing after another.
Right.
My grandmother's dying. You're messing with her sleep pattern. She finally got to sleep. Now she won't be able to sleep for another 16 hours when she wakes up. That was it. So different little things she did throughout her life made me hate her.
Yeah.
The way she conducted herself.
People like that, I always say this, they're addicted to drama.
That's exactly what it was.
And so it's always me.
You have never met this lady. I've never talked to you about her. And that's exactly what she is. And I hate it. I hate it.
Yeah.
So I did hate this individual. But then at that point, it's like, why? Why give it that much energy?
Yeah.
Because if I saw her, my whole mood would change.
Yeah.
Even if I was happy that day.
Yeah.
I would see her. Now I'm angry. I'm upset. Hi. Why give an individual that kind of power?
Yeah.
Okay. So that was one person I hated.
Yeah.
Another person I hated was, we'll just say his name was Paul. I worked with this guy.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, he was a human turd. He was a turd with skin is what he was. And just not a good individual. Disgusting. I didn't want to have anything to do with him. Even when he died, I hated this individual. Couldn't stand him. Hate him. He's gone. He's not in my life. Why hate him?
Yeah.
He means nothing to me. Let it go. If I saw him on the street, would I say hello? No. I would keep walking.
Right.
But would I let it affect my mood? No. Two, you shared with your mother. I'm going to share with my father.
But by the way, when you talk about your father, that's when I knew like I could talk to you because I sympathize when you said this. But go ahead.
You should.
Yeah.
You should. That's some messed up stuff.
Yeah.
But you ever see Shaka Zulu?
Yes.
My father. My father. I was just a moment of pleasure for him. That's all I was.
Yeah.
I was a moment of pleasure, which is very sad.
Yeah.
And I'm cool with, right?
Yeah.
But he would go in and out of my life from like...
Stop teasing.
Stop teasing, but make it understood to all that you're here. You want to be with my mother.
Yeah.
Your ex-wife. Yeah, fatherhood was not for you. And I'm fine with that, you know, because it's not for everybody.
Right.
And some people are smart enough to identify it that, you know what, fatherhood or motherhood is not for me, so I'm not going to have any kids.
Yeah.
Other people, yeah, I have all these kids, but I'm not father or mother material.
Right.
Which is sad because the kids suffer, right? But the best thing my father ever did, you know, some people get mad because, oh, my parent wasn't there for me. We didn't do this. We didn't do that. They never picked me up, wasn't there for the holidays or my birthday. The best thing that my father ever did was not be there. And I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a pillar of the community. And at times he's not a very nice person.
Right.
With that being said, my mother is pretty much my mother and father.
Yeah.
She very sweet, very loving, very motherly, very creative as far as raising a child. But also as a young man, got to a certain point in life, like maybe the age of 12.
Yeah.
Like, all right, toughen up. It was like she wasn't soft anymore.
Yeah.
She was getting her son ready to be a man. And it was like, whoa, thank you, mama. And it got to a point to where if my father would have been home and they would have stayed together, you know, those people that stay together just for the children.
Yeah.
I would have most likely left home at the age of 13, definitely by 14.
Yeah.
So if I would have done that, what would have happened to me? Would I be an angry individual? Would I have gotten into crime?
Yeah.
Would I have done things or taken certain drugs to try to escape?
Sure.
All that is a possibility. But since he was not there, my mother had an environment that allowed me to grow.
Yeah, stability in your life. Yeah.
Yes. And so with that... I have compared my mother to other mothers, left, right, top to bottom, and my mother is great. She is fantastic.
A player coach. You know, she did it all.
She did it all. I give her all the credit in the world. The thing is, there comes a time in life where we all make our decisions. We say, okay, at this moment in time, I'm grown. I have to spread my wings. Well, my father ended up moving home when I turned, I think I was maybe 20 when he moved back home.
Yeah.
He moved home on a Friday. I moved out the following Friday.
Oh.
I don't care if it was, we lived in Bill Gates' house.
Yeah.
There's not enough square footage under one roof that we can coexist.
Yeah.
I do not hate the man, but we do not do well together.
Right.
So I move out, which was fine. I was ready to move out, but I would have stayed home with my mother until I was probably 25, to be honest with you.
Yeah. It was similar situation, kind of similar, but I had to leave 19.
they got remarried, right?
Yeah.
They got remarried.
How long did that last?
13 minutes. I want to say they stayed together about maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years the marriage lasted, maybe.
Okay.
And once they got a divorce, didn't hear from Pops whatsoever.
Right.
You know, only time I would go visit the house would be to go visit my mother, of course. But so once they split up, he didn't stay in touch, which was par for the course. He did that my whole life, right? Yeah. Well, for some reason, out of the blue, after...
Oh, no.
I don't know. It had to be at least 5 to 7 years. Hadn't heard a word from him, right?
Yeah.
I get a call at my job.
Yeah.
I say, hello? You know who this is? Yes. This is your daddy, boy. I know. Hey, I had my head up my ass all these years, and... now I'm back. okay. And so we have this conversation, and he's been gone for 5-7 years, whatever it has been. All of a sudden, he tells me, oh, hold on.
Oh, no.
There's something on the news.
Oh, no.
So you haven't talked to your son in 5 to 7 years.
Yeah.
And you tell him to hold on because there's something on the news.
Right.
Okay. Then he comes back. He says, I'm about to leave town, and I would like to go come over and visit you and your wife. Maybe go out for dinner with you two or something like that.
Right.
Hmm. Okay. And I don't like to make rash decisions.
Yeah.
I was like, well, let me think about that. He said, wait, hold on, hold on. Hey, let me call you back. The phone just clicked in. I've been waiting for this phone call all day.
Yeah.
I haven't talked to you for 5 or 7 years.
Right.
But you've been waiting for a phone call all day, and this might be it.
Yes.
Okay, certain things never change,
right?
So we get off the phone, and I come home that day. My wife, so, honey, how was your day? It was good. Had a phone call today. Oh, really? From who? From my dad. Oh, really? Really? Yeah, he said he's possibly moving to another state. He would like to come on over and have dinner with us.
Right.
My wife looks at me dead in my eyes, and she says, and my wife's a very loving lady. It's all about family and everything.
Sure, sure, sure.
She said, well, honey, make sure you let me know what day so I won't be here. So I'm like, babe, I haven't decided what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And so I always like to sleep on big decisions. And,
sure.
I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I thought about it. I woke up the next day, and within 15 minutes of me getting out of bed, I had 100% clarity on what I should do.
Right.
I made sure I called him at exactly, you know, noon, shall we say.
Yeah.
I said, hey, Pops. He said, hey, what's shaking? I said, calling you about what we talked about yesterday. You know, you coming by, I don't see that happening. You and I going out for dinner, I don't see that happening either.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel that you still have an opportunity to salvage a relationship with your grandbabies.
Yeah.
His grandbabies, he's still big daddy in their eyes, you know? You still have an opportunity to have this relationship with them.
Yeah.
But everything else that you suggested or recommended us getting together, seeing each other.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening.
And what did he say?
Oh, I understand if you have a lot of animosity and resentment toward me. I understand that. And then I had to chuckle.
Yeah.
No, I have no hatred towards you.
Yeah.
I have no animosity towards you whatsoever. I wish you well. I hope you live a long life and live well. I really, truly do. I hope you find happiness. If you have happiness now, I hope it continues.
Yeah.
I have no hatred toward my father. I really don't.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, well, you have. No, I don't. I am so thankful and I'm so lucky to have a father that had that makeup that didn't stick around.
Yeah.
Because if he would have stuck around, I don't know what would have happened.
Absolutely.
I'm thankful to have uncles that were crackheads.
Yeah.
Because seeing what they became, I've never touched a drug outside of gin and rum in my entire life. And I never will for the simple fact that the things that I've seen, and I do understand I have to be thankful for, but that anger, that hatred, it will consume you, man. It is not good for your soul. It's not good for your heart. It's not good for your health. You know,
yeah.
And I'm not saying, oh, now we're going to, you know, me and my dad, we're going to one day we're going to hold hands and do
kumbaya,
some fishing. Yeah. Kumbaya, my Lord, kick back, have some gin, smoke a joint or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that.
Right.
I just don't have hatred toward the man. I truly wish him well. And I hope he's doing well. I hope he's happy. Whatever, you know, what you have a vision for in your life and what I have a vision for in my life can be totally different things. We may have common ground on things we want in our lives.
Yeah.
But, you know, just be happy. Do yeah. what you want to do with your life. And if it works for you, it works for you. It doesn't have to work for your parents, your kids, your yeah. siblings, nothing. Just as long as your life works for you,
yeah.
that's the important thing.
And I didn't plan this to happen, but this Seattle trip, it turned out to be like when I was talking to Dave Johnson, I recorded a record, but we didn't talk too deeply about that. When I talked to him yesterday, but he's good friend with John Stagliano, and like some of the work issues, like talking to him, it actually kind of helped me.
John Stagliano, that's the guy that likes the finger in his butt, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay, just making sure. I wasn't sure. But it was Joey Silvera also, right?
I don't know about Joey, but...
No, okay.
But he might be into little other freaky stuff, but...
I wasn't sure. I'm not sure about either one of them.
Right.
You know? Yeah, but I will say the Buttman videos,
yeah,
that was my hero, man.
Yeah,
I was a young man, never went anywhere in life, and he took me to Brazil. I went to Carnival,
yeah.
and then I was like, ooh, but man in Europe? I've never been to Europe.
Yeah.
I go to Europe, and if I could, I would thank John,
yeah.
because he was part of me becoming a well-rounded individual.
And once again, I cannot question his genius, and I don't think...
ahead of his time. Ahead of his time.
Yeah.
He changed the game. That's the thing. No matter what, if you can change the game,
yeah.
you one of the greatest people to ever walk this earth. You know, there's nothing new under the sun, but he did something new. That's impressive.
And you know you work at the business for 27 years? You know, that's incredible work. Well, these days, working anywhere.
I'm a trained professional about that ass.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm the guy who was absolutely genius. Fashionista is like considered classic among the critic in that business. And he really worked hard. He took a lot of chance. And I guess I took it really hard because I was loyal to him and worked yeah. really hard. And he's a very honest guy. But problem is, something about his characteristic where he trusts more of people who are dishonest and doing underhanded things. And I could never compete with those people. But yeah, he just believed those people when I got fired.
Man, my grandfather was that way. A lot of individuals are that way. They'll yeah. trust people they don't know or just met.
Yeah.
They were more inclined to do things or help them out more so than a family member or a close friend.
Yeah.
And I don't know why it's that way, but it's just the way they're wired. But he was also a visionary.
Yeah.
He was big ass before big ass was cool. I mean, Christy Lynn.
Yeah.
Woo! Good googly woogly. I tell you. That's why he's my hero.
It's true. Most entrepreneur innovators, they see something in the world that he needs a product or service that wasn't available.
Right.
I say, why don't I fill that up? And he filled that up with the big asses, you know?
Right. Big ass twerking.
Yeah.
Even though twerking just came out, 2 years ago,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. But talking to Dave, and he's very close with John, it kind of made me think like... I'm annoyed the way he does things, but he can't help himself. That's how he does things.
Right,
so, yeah.
right.
I definitely don't like the people that work for him in the management, but I'm slowly letting that go. But it's becoming part of an act now, you know? And because I will say, if you ended up working for a guy named Buttman, you made some fucked up decisions in life. You're not working for Mark Zuckerberg or, you know, Steve Jobs and shit. If you have a guy's name with the word butt or cunt or bitch-ass motherfucker... Yeah, you ain't going to do shit.
Question for you.
Yeah.
When you do your act,
yeah,
does the name Buttman register? Does the crowd know who Stagliano happens to be?
I don't think a lot of young people do because,
oh, okay.
because even at the porn convention, and these girls are porn stars. I remember 5 years ago when I said John Leslie, they had no idea who that was.
And that's sad.
But that's how it is. I mean, they have no idea. Yeah, just young people are very sure about what's going on now and technology, but
right.
since the history and things like that, I just think that happened to every generation, you know.
I think it's worse now.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't know Prince's music.
Yeah.
You know, but John Leslie, I find it hard to believe if you're in the porn game, you do not know that name.
Yeah.
He was actually a great actor,
sure.
my opinion.
Oh, I've heard.
And he did great work.
Yes.
Some of his work was the best of all time in that industry. And if you're in that industry, you don't know your history, It's pretty sad, to be honest with you.
And I'm really embarrassed to say this because he was a great basketball player, and he was also a coach of Sonics that won championship.
John Leslie?
No. I'm talking about who was the coach? He was a great player. He ended up coaching Sonics, and they won the championship.
Oh, don't say Lenny Wilkins.
Lenny Wilkins.
Oh, shh.
One time, he was they were playing horse or something with Shaq.
Mm-hmm.
And Shaq was losing. He's like, hey, I don't know who he is, but he's pretty good. He didn't know who that was.
Oh, serious?
Yeah. So even the stars in any business doesn't mean they know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But just a little side piece. Now that you bought his name up, it just made me remember I need to take out the trash. But go ahead.
Okay, good.
Oh, you jerk.
So.
Because he should have won a championship in Cleveland. I'm just saying.
As a player or?
As a coach.
When was that?
Lenny Wilkins?
Yeah. When was he coach there?
Brad Daugherty at center.
Oh, that's right.
Price.
Yeah.
As a guard. Hot Rod Williams forward. Yeah. Man, they were loaded. Derek Harper?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
That brother won championship when he went to Chicago Bulls, right?
Got
to
leave Lenny Wilkins to do that.
What was that joke that Chris Rock used to say? Like,
what's that?
Black people like, he was talking about Pat Riley. He said, Pat Riley has taken more black people to promised land than any other white man or something like
right,
that.
Right, right, right. There's a certain gentleman of, shall we say, pigmentation impairment?
Yeah.
Okay. That get a honorary pass. He's one of them. He's kind of, if he was a movie star, he'd be Don Johnson.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, a lot of people like old Pat Riley.
I mean, you're going to be physically fucked up because the way he coached you. The way they play, it's nothing finesse about Pat Riley basketball, man.
Right, right.
Well, that shit in New York, woo.
That was brutal.
Brutal.
That was brutal.
And they didn't win championship. I love watching those guys play. They're fighters, you know?
What's the guard's name?
John Stark.
Stark.
Yeah.
Woo! Off to Mark Stark.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, if he could have put that ball in the ocean just one or three times, they're champions.
Oh, yeah.
But to lose against the Houston Rockets, that was horrible. That was horrible. I got drunk that day. I passed out.
Almost. You know what's horrible? When Sonic should have won those two seasons when Jordan wasn't playing. They got beaten by Denver Nuggets by Mutombo and Lakers following year. But yeah, I'm old. I still, that shit still give me nightmare.
It gives me a nightmare because they were so bad that year. I knew the Knicks would win.
Yeah.
That I got drunk. I almost had sex with a fat girl. And I mean, I
a
like,
black guy having sex with a fat girl? I don't believe it.
No, I like big girls. Yeah. I do. I like big girls. You know, I'm equal opportunity lover.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about, she was like 5'3", 250.
Well, yeah.
I mean, just heavyweight lover in the house.
Right.
Woo. I mean, seriously?
Yeah.
She started to sweat. It smelled like pork chops with gravy.
But going back, I am working on it, and that's part of the reason why.
Of the anger?
Part of the reason, I think this trip was very good because I talked to people that's kind of helping me think something. I've been thinking a lot. And one of the reasons why I'm ending the podcast because second to last one, I just want to let it out the stuff that I've been thinking, but I've only shared some of this stuff with like maybe two or three people in my life, you know?
Yeah.
So, a lot of people use podcasts like promoting their career and stuff. But it was never that, you know. It was just I think it was helping me come term with some of the stuff. And I think the reason why there's been times when I do stand up comedy, people are upset because I wasn't really doing it to make people upset. I had this anger things, and I'm just letting it out, saying pretty dark stuff. It's not good for audience, but it was good for me because. Whenever people get mad when the comedians are doing a duty show or dark material, believe it or not, sometimes they're dealing with the things that was bothering them and they never had anyone to talk to. So that's how I've been dealing with it. And this is like for last year, so I've been start talking about it, you know.
Wow.
So that's where I'm at. And I think if I talk to some financial advisor, they look at my credit and not having money and having a job and things like that might be concerned. But in some sense, I feel like this medical testing stuff I do, I'm physically healthier, oddly enough.
Dude, you look good last time I saw you. Which was it last year?
Yeah.
You look even better this year.
Yeah.
So whatever you're doing, keep doing it.
Yeah, and I think talking about it, taking care of my health.
Right.
And you know, we have a very unorthodox attitude about work, but I money wise it's not good, but I really am in a better place.
What's unorthodox about the way we feel about work?
I think we make religion in this country that if you're not working all the time and focusing on that only, you're not doing it right. That's part of the American dream. But you know,
well, I was always told a job ain't nothing but work.
Yes.
That's all it is. And in this game called life, I've never met a person that was in a hospital bed that said, oh, remember that day at work? No, they don't talk about that.
Yeah.
They talk about the one-on-one experiences, the parties they had gone to, the travels that they have made throughout the years. Yeah. That's what they talk about.
Right.
They talk about those intimate times where it was just a one-on-one situation.
Sure.
They don't talk about, oh, remember that Tuesday when we were at work and we went to lunch and we took an extra 5 minutes? Yeah. They don't talk about that.
Sure.
So, you know, to each his own. Everybody's got their own way of getting high in life. And if your way is working, knock yourself out.
Yeah.
Some people want to travel. Some people want to do housework, yard work, or whatever it may be. Some people want to hang out with friends. Some people want to drink. However you get high, do it. But work, unless you own your own business with your name out front and you can put your own personal pride to it, if you're doing it for someone else, making someone else rich, my personal opinion, you're a nut.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And that's one thing, traveling overseas, that's changed my attitude about work because, you know, America is the most productive because sheer number of hours we work more than other countries, you know?
You know what changed my mind about work?
What?
Work.
And I think French people, believe it or not, they're pretty productive, even though they don't work as many hours as we have, but they have a really good attitude. Most Americans are raised in thinking like we live to work, whereas they work to live, you know? And work is simply something that you have to do, but there's in between, life have to be lived. And, you know, I've said this many times in this podcast, the reason why Asian people seem to work all the time because they don't want to deal with their personal issues. So that way, it's easier to tell people what to do when you're working all the time. I'm sacrificing all this thing, so you guys better go to school and become doctor, whatever, but it's they're trying to be manipulative, in my opinion, you know? People should become a doctor because they want to be a doctor, not because their parents make them feel guilty and miserable about it, you know?
You are very social.
To a point, yeah.
Yeah, but you can work a room. You can schmooze. You're damn good at it. You have the art of networking down. With that being said, when you're at a social gathering, a function, whatever it may be, it bothers me, and I want to know if it bothers you. On you meet a person, you say hello, my name is Yoshi, and they're like, oh, hi Yoshi, what do you do?
Yeah,
does that bother you?
I'm used to it, and believe me, most Europeans do not like that. Because they don't talk like that. But what can you do? Like the Dutch people get annoyed with Americans because maybe in their language it doesn't make any sense, but it drives them crazy. At least my Dutch friends say, like, how you doing? Because their thinking is like, why the fuck do you care how I'm doing? You know, it's just to them, they think it's being phony. But in Japan, we have a phrase, what's a good one?
Do you have my rent?
No, it's nothing like that. they have this thing where you literally, it sounds fine in Japanese because it's understood that in that culture, how to be polite is this way. But outsider heard that phrase and break it down what literally means. It sounds crazy, but it literally goes, you walk in somebody's house, like, due to your kindness and your kind relationship with me, I am lucky to come to your house and mingle with you. It's literally kind of like that. But it's something that you just say because that's how they say it. But the outsider think like, Jesus, what the fuck? You know?
No, but that is so true. Yeah. I feel privileged that anybody would want to hang out with me.
Yeah.
The only thing of value in this world is time.
Yes.
That is the only thing. When you mess up in society, what do they take from you? Your time. Right. They make you pay with your time. You can't go to the bathroom. You can't exercise until you have permission.
Sure.
You can't eat until they serve you.
Right.
With that being said, so many people sacrifice their time with people they don't care for.
Right.
That drives me nuts.
Because it's kind of like the networking thing. So here's the thing. When people say you're good at networking and stuff like that, I guess to a point because too many people say it. But here's the thing. When you network, I suppose my feeling, because my friend Esther Koo asked me, like, how come you're, she just asked me like 2 weeks ago, like, how come you're so good at making friends and whatnot? Well, she doesn't know the part. I'm also good at burning bridges, too.
You got to keep replenishing the well, huh?
But I do think sometimes if you have a group of barbarians coming at you, you got to burn that bridge.
Right.
So, but having said that, my feeling about networking, if you want to say it, is to me, I'm like a point guard. Here I am. And my job is not to just score point for myself, but make people around me better.
A facilitator.
So, yeah, if there's a situation where I think this is a good thing, I'm going to come at you and say, hey, this is what I think. If they don't like it, I don't push that.
Right.
But if you do enough of it, people realize like, wow, he's actually thinking about me, whatever. And I'm not expecting anything in return. So the previous job, they said like, you're a fucking good network. You're not good at fucking network. What he's saying is, when I've developed this relationship with people, having good conversation, whatnot, if it doesn't give some kind of monetary return, it's a failure. And I don't feel that way.
Right.
Now, this is a person's worth $200,000-$300,000. But
worth $200,000.
I mean, $200 million.
Okay. Yeah.
But there's part of me that like him. There's part of me like I don't understand why he does a certain way. But one thing I know about people who are that successful, they're really good of seducing people.
Right.
But when I'm a comic, I see the bullshit through.
Are they seducing people or people are hearing and seeing what they want to believe because they feel they're next?
I think both, because I think the part of the reason why Donald Trump is so popular, because I think most poor people see him like, well, if he's billionaire, he must know what he's saying, and maybe I could learn something that could help me. And that's a huge leap of faith, in my opinion.
But that's stupid. He's rich. He don't like you.
No, he doesn't.
Right.
He's good at seducing people, but the problem when I meet them, and it's funny things, I met Donald Trump, too, at the Tonight Show, oddly enough. My friend Lisa worked at the Evil Angel at the time. She still had a daughter, but her daughter was really young.
Right.
And the day Donald Trump was on Tonight Show, happened to be Jonas Brothers were there. So I thought it would be nice to get autograph for her daughter. So I got it. So I'm waiting aside. The PR person's there. Eventually she come out and got a signature for the daughter. Cool. I love doing stuff like that, right? As soon as she was walking over and trying to give me the signed autograph, Donald Trump just happened to be walked by. He just grabbed away from her thinking it was for him. And she had to explain, like, oh, no, this is for him and his friend's co-worker's daughter. So
right.
Like, oh, that's very nice of you. He just gave it back to me. But that grabbing before anyone else, I think that's his character. Like, first opportunity he has, he fucking grabbing that shit.
Right.
You know. But I think my problem with those rich people that I don't like, because they present themselves as bigger than life.
Right.
But once you get to know them, they're smaller than life.
True.
They're just a terrible people.
Now, does this person pick up the tab like when you guys go out or anything like that?
Sure, sure. They
always?
Do.
Okay.
The problem is this person on the podcast, when the final days, my numbers are up, think, remember the time I did this and this and that? Like, he'll bring that shit on me like a pity person.
Oh, right.
Whereas my friend Russell Peters, he will never do that. He want to do it because he want to help. He remember what it is to be poor. And he wants the best from you. That's the big difference with the guy Dave I used to work versus Russell. He wants to uplift people, but there are people like our former bosses at R&R. They like the fact that they're rich and that they like the fact that there are poor people. It makes them happy.
True. True. Very true.
And it is, it's just pretty ugly, you know? But
but there's ugly poor people also.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, people that have
you're
no
talking
money.
To him.
Ghetto. No, there's ghetto snobs.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you got to be kidding me. You're the brokest person in the world, but you're going to put these other people down?
Yeah.
It amazes me. I've known people that, shall we say, their apartments look like something from a third world country.
Yeah.
It's amazing that they have walls.
Sure.
And lo and behold, they'll go to someone else's home. And they will talk about the curtains and
sure.
the carpet, and it's terrible.
Yeah.
Ghetto snobs.
And always be grateful when people go out of the way to do stuff for you. And I would like to go and, you know, my because I never understood money and I never have money. So there's things in life I would like to do, but I don't have money to do it. But the way I conduct my life is like Oakland A's. They don't have enough money, but whatever the asset they have, they figure out a smart way to trade their asset to for the future.
Right.
So with Dave and then like Russell Peters, like Russell, remember, like you could say whatever you want, like whenever he does stuff or pay for my stuff, I also those people like, yeah, it's true. But where were you when he came down with no money and knew
right.
no one? I went
right.
out of way to make sure he was all right, you know?
Right.
Because I didn't know he was going to be rich. I did that for my other friend with no money either.
Right.
But that's the kind of shit I like. Like, whenever few times where connect person A and person B and it worked out.
Right.
Fuck, that shit I love.
Made you feel good.
Yeah.
Right.
And that stuff will lead to other good things for me.
Right.
Eventually, and it has.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not always money.
But at the time, you're not really expecting anything in return, is the thing.
Because I'm kind of experimenting, you know, because sometimes I introduce one person to another, it doesn't work out. I don't feel good about it, you know?
Right.
Like, I try to look like, why didn't it work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have friend A, I get along with them well. I have friend B, I get along well. But when I introduce A and B, for whatever reason, it didn't work out. So, so it has happened. But then I sit back and say, like, I'm trying to see why it didn't work, you know? And
because we are so different.
Yeah.
Just people can connect on a certain wave, but just one degree of separation, it just does not work. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But sometimes, just like sometimes you don't know an individual, but you meet this person, and
sure.
for one reason or another, you just don't like them.
Right.
You don't know them, but you don't like them.
Yeah, yeah.
So, one of those type of deals.
I know you have to pick up your lovely wife soon, so I could stop. Now, if we come back, you still have
to... I'm not done talking. Okay. I got more to say, but to go ahead.
Yeah. if we finish now, or 5 or 10 minutes, whatever, but... if you come back and if you still have time to do another hour, that'd be cool. But if you have other variation, I understand. But I really enjoy this, and
I have had a great time. This was my cherry.
Yeah.
I've never done this before.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it was with you. You've
yeah.
been very gentle, very nice, and thank you.
And part of the reason why the last, I don't like anyone. Don't apply the same standard to themselves. And that was my biggest problem the last when I worked for DVDSA, because the public don't know the shit he does behind everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to listen to this motherfucker when I told him some intimate stuff that I only trust few people and use it against me and screaming yell. But at the same time, I have other, when he accused me of something, like, really, did I do that? Then I talk to other people and find out from his best friend and others, like, in fact, I didn't do it. He was the one who was doing it, and he doesn't
right.
apply the same shit. And because he's so wealthy, none of the people in that group won't say shit. You
yeah,
know?
But since you hang out with so many black guys, you should know better to have a blade on you at all times.
Yeah.
So sometimes you got to handle your business.
Yeah, and so that's why whenever he said, you're going to do that, I say, fuck no, I'm not going to do that.
Why would you?
Yeah, why would you?
Yeah.
And... I'm
because if it happened again, whose fault is that?
Right. So people like that, I don't understand it. Part of the reason is that he's not an evil person. He just don't see it. And that's how he was raised.
Hmm.
Because he said something on a podcast 2 years ago. got in trouble. I mean, worldwide, there's people start, you know, he basically said he forced himself on that girl and put his dick in his mouth, this girl's mouth. And everybody, he raped her, never happened. He's just making shit up. But when people are saying how great you are,
and that's
kissing up your ass, and you never have people talking shit to you, you're never used to when the people turn against you. As a comic, when people are always talking back to me, I'm so used to that, right?
Right.
But when somebody doesn't play fair, that's what I don't like. And, you know, you're a very fair person.
Thank you.
Unbelievably fair. And you, when even people are being unreasonable at the store, you let them talk first, let them let it out. Then once they're done, if they're being fair, you steal them like, you have a right to be angry, but you have no right to talk to people like that.
Correct.
But most likely they're wrong and being rude about it. And then you tell them, here's the reason why we're not going to accommodate, because first, one, you're very rude. And two, you're wrong. Your position is wrong, and we don't tolerate that stuff.
Right.
And when people behave like that, we don't want those kinds of business. And secondly, they're not going to do shit, because that's what they are. They're just shit talkers. You know?
Right.
They're just rude. So anyway, if you come, we can do another one. Great. If not, D'Amico, thanks. And I'm ending my podcast. But you're one of those few people, if I was up here like every other month, I would love to record 5 or 6 in different podcasts to release, because you're a very fun person to talk.
Well, thank you.
The world should be hearing more of your perspective, because you're an unbelievably reasonable guy.
But I have a question. Why would you end your podcast? It's something you enjoy, something you're good at. Why would you end it?
I think it started with two people. It was always meant to be with two people.
Okay.
And quite often I ended up re-interviewing someone that I don't like. It became a bit of a work, you know?
Okay.
So,
can't have that.
And if I do another one, it'll be somebody that I like to talk to, and it should be fun. And, you know, anyone who's saying, like, if you're going to work, if work should be fun, like, well, you're a dipshit. Because if you don't have an option, you have a mortgage, you have to take care of family, you can't find another job to take care of your family, then, of course, you're in the top spot. But I feel like I have a choice.
Everyone has a choice. You're right.
And then if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it in a way that works for me.
Right.
And that last podcast, it feels like, it was like the place that we work in, this warehouse in downtown LA, I call it Little Pyongyang, because it was a crazy place.
What does Pyongyang mean?
It's the capital of North Korea.
Okay.
The land of crazy people.
Okay.
And when I think, when you have a really fun, wonderful conversation, it's like a two tennis player going back and forth, and the audience has a good time. Like, oh damn, you hit it! Oh my god, they hit it back, and that person hit it back.
Right.
It's a fun. But when somebody is holding you hostage because of a job, or taking you hostage because if you don't stay on the show, you're not going to go to Afghanistan to help kids with the problems.
Right.
And this is actually what happened to me.
Right.
One of the many things I couldn't really talk about at the time. Nobody liked to be taken hostage.
No.
You know, there's no respect in that.
Correct.
And don't pretend in public you're a decent human being when you're acting like this.
Right.
And anybody who knows me, I can be difficult, but I'm pretty loyal to my friends. And if you're acting like a motherfucker, you can't get a good version of me.
No, what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
And
if I don't like somebody, I don't like that person. And they know.
Right. But you're very, very, very respectful.
Yeah.
Always have been. Always have been. Always will be. So
But when they cross that line, I don't deal very, very well.
Well, my question to you is, why should people cross that line? That's what I don't understand.
With the previous guy, when I was working, they think it's funny how much they could get away with it.
Mm-hmm. That's somebody that hasn't got their ass kicked.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Yeah. And they have not done very well. People say no to them.
Uh-huh.
And his mother's a very lovely person. But, you know, I remember one time, first time I met Dave and his two brothers and his mother, lovely lady, smart, good looking, good at cooking, and artistic talent, very charming, very sweet. Always go to AOA to feed everyone. But she said something that made me laugh, like, there's two sons and Dave, the middle son, the talented, and other two sons talented too. But anybody who has a talent to be worldwide famous,
right,
and worth half a billion.
Right.
Anyway, she said, And she laughed like that too, kind of funny. Yoshi, do you know my favorite son is? Dave is my favorite son. She does say that to me. And I thought she was joking.
Right.
She wasn't. I don't have a kid.
Right.
But the look that oldest son and the youngest son had, it wasn't a look of sad, but they look like they're used to it.
Right.
Right. But to me, of course, you're only human. You have those feelings. You have a friend that you've liked the most. If you have multiple kids, I'm sure if you're being honest, you probably have one of your favorite.
Right.
You just don't fucking say that.
Right.
Because if you think about their feelings, and I have said some incident stuff all the time on stage.
Right.
But believe me, here's the thing. I know I'm saying that. I know it's very hurtful. I knew that. I said that to people that I don't like, or being smart ass to people that I don't like.
Right.
But I'm well aware of what it does to people. But the sad thing is, she doesn't know.
Uh-huh.
And when you give all your resources on one kid, and he has a tremendous amount of confidence to be that successful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't think it's fair to do that to someone. You know, it's just and I think because of that,
it's not fair and it's not right.
It's not right. And I think because he was brought up that way, he doesn't know when he's hurting other people.
But like, are the other two kids fuck ups though? I shouldn't say that because that puts you on the spot. Is that one child, her favorite child, a lot better than the other two?
If you think the money is the only thing in the world, then I guess number two is the number one. But But I have to say, if I'm being honest, oldest son, he jokingly let his dog bite me. I didn't like that. But he was doing it in a friendly, funny way. And I can get mad at Jimmy. He is a very sweet person. I mean, I laugh about it, but like...
His dog bit you.
Yeah, in my hand. It's a big Rottweiler, too.
Loving way.
Well, I didn't like it, but I never was angry. I said, like, I don't know. The dog knows I'm afraid of it, and the dog doesn't like me. And Jimmy said, no, it's okay. I pet it. I got fucking bit. And he goes, I'm just fucking with you. I got bit, you know, but he's one of those guys. He's one of those guys. Jimmy, I can't get mad at him. I can't get mad. Cause
okay.
There's not an ounce of malice in him at all.
Okay.
He didn't mean it maliciously. So I can't get mad. And
that's a lot coming from you.
Yeah, it's coming because he's so likable and sweet.
Right.
Even though he let his dog bite me, I don't know, once, twice, maybe three times. As a big fucking Rottweiler. I cannot get mad at Jimmy Choo because he's not a malicious guy at all.
Okay.
Other two, I can say the same thing.
All right.
The youngest one, you know, I just got fired because his brother Dave said something on the Howard Stern show.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to move to New York. And there's both of those guys are like, why the fuck do you move to New York? You know how expensive it is? I'm thinking like, you do realize you said something, Howard Stern had a big part of me losing my job. And he even said on a podcast, like, you're 43, you don't have a job. And like, what can you say? He doesn't have an awareness. Like, well, if I had something to do with somebody losing their job, I can't even joke about that.
So let me get this
right.
But
he's clueless, just like his mother saying shit like that.
Yeah.
That doesn't make them bad people. It's just one of those like imperfection that they have. All I ask in return is when I do shit, can you not accept my imperfection? And they can't do that. They cannot see no fault. He can't see any fault at all.
So that's a group you got to cut out, right?
I mean, he fired me, so that was that. But his youngest brother, I remember when I got fired, this is within two, 3 weeks.
But do you hate them?
I don't hate them, but it just disappoint me.
Okay.
And they ended up hurting the people that I care about.
Okay.
But the youngest one, this is like 3 weeks after I get fired, maybe a month after I get fired, I moved to New York because one of my friends said, look, you don't have a job, you don't have a place to stay. Why don't you move in? You could stay with me however long you have. You don't have to worry about pay. And I was telling his younger brother about that. Like, you can't just fucking move in expecting you could live there forever. Like, he was getting on my case, but I was thinking like, that's who he is. He doesn't have awareness like Dave, but like...
But that's none of his affair.
None of his affair. And also, well, you know, your older brother had something to be fired, but, you know, He doesn't have awareness. But one time, we'll find in with this youngest brother. It's just he's very much like his old middle one. I said, oh, I remember this neighborhood. You used to live here. He's like, oh, how did you know that? Oh, because I helped you move all your furniture to your second or third floor. You did that? He doesn't remember that.
Wow.
But I go out of my way. If you need help, I'll help you. Paul, if I was moving, if I was in the same situation, you know goddamn well that motherfucker won't do it. He was brought up way like always see fault in others, but people like that, they never apply the same standard at all. That's why when they were talking shit, like, I don't get it. I don't fucking get it. What have you done in your life? And have you gone out of your way to help people right. to have that kind of position? But that's how it is with those two. But only thing good came out of it is a lot of people turned against me or kind of indifferent, but Dave's closest friend, Joey Kurtzman, he was the only one who stood for me and said, Dave, you accused of Yoshi of doing this. I know for a fact you did that.
Right.
And he has a lot of money. He's been friend with him, but he was the only one who stood by me. And when I have a friend like that, it makes a world of difference.
Right.
Everybody said, like, Jews are greedy. Like, this motherfucker was defending me, knowing that kind of stuff I've heard.
I have never understood why people... to this day, Jew this, Jew that. I don't understand it.
I don't understand it because Joey have not his own. He's been nothing but a great friend,
right?
And he's friend of Dave. It was not interest to have him saying that, but and he doesn't know who like getting yelled at. But that's how Dave talked to everyone. But he was always there, and he stood by me. And to this day, he would do the same thing too.
Right.
He knows what's right and wrong, and it's what the Jewish people call mensch, and he is a mensch. So are you. And even with all the money, as long as I have people like you, my friend Fred, Sam, LJ, when I have friends like that, now my friend Randy, without even asking for rent, he knew I was in trouble. Not knowing a lot about me, he let me stay at his place last year and a half without a rent.
Nice.
And I'm helping with his room that he's having in K-Town. But I don't have a problem if people make a quick judgment about me. But if you really talk to anyone I've ever associated with, was loyal to you, that's the only credit report I worry about. Fuck the credit card company fucking with credit. You're dumb enough to give me credit. Fuck them. But with my close friends, I will never fuck them, you know.
Credit is a big scam.
Yeah.
They make you jump through all these hoops for this imaginary number that's supposed to make your life easier.
Yeah.
That number will get you deeper and deeper in debt.
Yeah.
You'll never get from underneath it, which is very sad.
Let's end here. Wish you could pick her up, but
pick up my baby.
If you like what we were saying, and if you like the conversation we're having, I'm willing to come like every 2 months, record a bunch of episodes, and love to do it. And then if we get monetized, I will definitely get D'Amico paid because D'Amico's an interesting guy. We didn't even touch sports, and this motherfucker. I'm serious, D'Amico. You could have been one of those announced on ESPN. That's how knowledgeable you are.
I did not want to go to ESPN because all the people would miss me around town. So I try to give back to the people and do what I can do for the community.
Well, if you have a question for D'Amico, email me at dumbyoshi@gmail.com. I know he's not on the social media, but just contact me, and if you're interested, I'm willing to come up here to record a bunch of episodes of a new podcast. Anyway, thanks. And D'Amico, thank you very much, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.